Since electricity was deregulated more than a decade ago, the energy market has become a much more confusing place for consumers. Maybe you've seen the TV ads promising lower rates if you switch away from Public Service of New Hampshire.
PSNH energy supply rates have skyrocketed.
You can avoid their rate hike by choosing a new electric supplier.
One of those new options was Power New England, at least until mid-February. That's when PNE was ejected from the New England energy market for not being able to pay its bills. For former customer Philip Jenis, this has been bewildering.
It's a little bit confusing, and I've been trying to follow it. I think I have an understanding of it, but, you know, perhaps I don't.
If you find yourself in Jenis's position, let's start with the basics. Deregulation allowed for new companies to sprout up that buy power from whoever is selling it the cheapest. Such companies can get customers from an aggregator, like Resident Power. It gathers up customers and delivers them to an electric supplier, essentially like a mortgage or insurance broker. A company like PNE then actually buys and supplies the power. Resident Power and PNE were the first companies to break into the residential electric market around 2 years ago, but the boundaries between them are a bit fuzzy. A father and son runs the two companies, and Bart Frometh, the son and managing director of Resident Power, says the companies were designed to work together.
They certainly have common ownership, but again, I do want to make the point that PNE was a backstop in terms of being able to supply customers.
In other words, when Resident Power, that's the aggregator, started, there were no competitive suppliers who would take residential customers, so they had to make their own. But as the first competitor against the big utilities in the state, it was uncharted water. And when electricity prices spiked this winter, it found itself in a whirlpool.
At that point in time, PNE is receiving receivables for a very mild December or mild November period, but they're paying out 5 and 6 times that for the end of January into February.
That means when the weather got cold, causing prices to spike, PNE was getting paid for the previous months when prices were low. That lag time is what did them in. The reason PNE fell into this trap and not other suppliers was because part of its business model meant leaving itself exposed to greater risk. PNE bought electric contracts for batches of around 700 customers at a time. And while it gathered up a batch, instead of getting a contract, it was buying electricity on the open market. That left it exposed to price fluctuations. And the owner of PNE competitor Electricity New Hampshire, Kevin Dean, says other suppliers don't do this.
We put together enough financial resources to take every home in New Hampshire, and we buy for that contract. That's one of the most important things that a customer of any supplier, not just us, should ask when they're contemplating enrolling.
So PNE's cash was gobbled up by rising energy prices, it couldn't pay its bill, and it was booted out of the market. As things were falling apart, Resident Power worked out a deal to move its customers to Fairpoint Energy, another supplier. That was happening at a rate of about 300 to 400 customers a day. But when PNE got into trouble, more than 7,000 customers who hadn't yet been moved were automatically switched to PSNH with its higher electric rates. In the scrum that followed, PNE and PSNH have hurled accusations back and forth. PNE is trying to portray PSNH as obstructing free market competition, saying it was too slow in moving customers to Fairpoint. Here's PNE owner Gus Frometh.
We offered every inducement in the book to get them to do that. And I find it to be very, very bewildering that they didn't do it.
For its part, PSNH says it simply couldn't move customers fast enough and has been aggressively framing this as a teachable moment. Here's PSNH spokesman Martin Murray.
PNE, they engaged in some risky behavior. They gambled on the energy market and they lost.
But to understand the rancor flying back and forth between these companies and PSNH, it's important to remember that the little guys aren't the only ones facing an uncertain future. Ever since the market was open to competition, PSNH has been losing customers hand over fist. Upwards of 80% of large commercial and industrial, 21% of small commercial, and now 7% of residential customers have chosen a new supplier. With the first companies to crack open the residential market now struggling, it's no surprise that PSNH has been vocal, trying to staunch the flow of residential customers jumping ship. Many industry watchers say that PSNH's higher rates are tied to owning and operating old coal-fired power plants.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Howard Moffitt is an industry attorney in New Hampshire. He says those watching know that PSNH is fighting to hold on to customers, and if the price of natural gas stays low and therefore electricity prices don't go up soon, PSNH will eventually have to get rid of its power plants.
Whether or not PSNH will choose that option before it's forced into a bankruptcy or some other draconian thing like that. That's up to PSNH.
PSNH asserts that these plants are an important hedge against the price volatility of natural gas, which this incident has put center stage. These are all questions that regulators are looking to sort out. The Public Utilities Commission is taking up an investigation of whether it makes sense for PSNH to own power plants in current market conditions. And Resident Power and PNE have been called before the Public Utilities Commission to explain how closely together their businesses are tied and why they haven't been particularly transparent in communicating with their customers. A hearing on whether to assess penalties on the two companies will take place in 2 weeks. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.